Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Cerebral Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, you know, I can totally believe that Dee Reynolds would jack off some dude during a performance of the Beetlejuice music. Wait, that was a real person? Holy shit. And with me, I have...
And now the VMAs are over. Finally. Took them long enough. That's what happens when you let AI script your shows, you stupid idiots.
And.
Oh, damn, that was a long nap. I don't know. But what's the date?
Wait. Today is the 18th of September.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. I'm a little bit out.
And. Couple weeks.
Okay, and apparently, looking at my phone, what the fuck happened over the last couple of weeks? You got people saying stupid shit, doing stupid shit.
Things happened, as they always do.
Yeah, like, let's see, okay, there's some stupid shit there, and apparently, oh wow, Joel Lucas sent me, saying that Chris Brown, he's been some shit about Chris Brown, some bullshit, I don't know. And I can get him, Lucas exists. And all because in an interview, Tinashe said that the feature she regrets doing when she was back on her label was, well, two people she regrets doing a feature with. It was with Chris Brown or R. Kelly. And as usual, Chris Brown acts like a total bitch. And they're like, name five Tinashe songs you know. Like, what songs do we know from you recently? And yes, I mean recently.
I couldn't tell you.
No, all you is you keep on acting the way you do. Especially around women.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you got mad because woman said that they're going to do a feature with you because they know how much of a dick you really are. But it's Walter Lewis defending you, which you still got a career or still relevant.
Who knows? Maybe one day his clock will finally run out. Throw him in the same bin that we throw in Russell Brand right now. Anyway, if we stick around here too long, we're never going to get through the rest of this. So, here we are, episode 323 of the podcast. How's everyone's time been going?
Relatively fine, I guess. Like, I don't have much to say other than football is back. I'm happy about that. I have the glory of YouTube TV, which gives me... a quad box of four games at the same time on Saturdays for college football, which is fun. I enjoy unwinding I like the sports ball stuff, unlike most people around here. But as far as the VMAs went, that happened last week on a Tuesday. It went way too long.
Oh, yeah.
It was supposed to end at 11:15. It ended at 10 minutes to midnight.
Wow.
Good Lord.
And I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened that was worth remembering other than Taylor Swift got a bunch of awards and Shakira got one last glory on the stage before the Spanish government indicts her for tax evasion, which that was a thing that happened.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, and anything else? I got a new pair of headphones, close back, Beyerdynamic DT770 Pros. I have industry quality headphones now. I'm stepping up in the world, and that's all I have to say. Nothing else came out in the last couple weeks from me.
You should probably get that cough looked at.
I should. It is a pain.
Anyway... Mark, what about you?
Well, looking for me, I think I have something to say the last 2 weeks. Most of it has not been good because the reason why we didn't do a show last week, I had a bit of a family emergency, which I'm not gonna say here because I'm not saying that shit. But some shit happened. I had to bow because I stay home with some family. They're doing okay now, which that's good. I kind of got a little bit. That and also, another bit of depression hit over that week as well, which, again, a thing that I want to talk about, but yeah, during those sad times, looking at some shows I watched. Hey, I took that One Piece show on Netflix. It's really good. I kind of like it. This would be you want to watch the anime. Even though I'm thinking, you want to watch the anime for 1,000 episodes? Okay, I didn't say, yeah. Okay. Another thing I watched, you know what? Fast X actually hits Peacock. I mean, we'll hit Peacock a few days ago. Well, I mean, I like this Momoa. He was pretty fun in there. But I like how Goofy acts. Like, there's the one quibble tweet go like, "Here we go!" I don't know.
He is very camp in the movie, like a certain persuasion of people. God, stupid cough, go away.
It's like, this thing is Goofy, and look, I can tell that, you know what, I'm gonna worry about. They're gonna be alive. Everybody gonna be back for the whatever. That's X Attack on Titan. They're gonna be Cars Attack on Titan. Fuck it.
It's the glory of billion-dollar plot armor.
Yeah, Vin Diesel coming to Titan. Girl, like, family, Aaron. Ow. Yeah, and you know the movie. Even though, like, I mean, yeah, it was funny, but the movie was kind of mediocre, to be honest. John Force. It's finally on. Well, it's on Stars now. But if you have Hulu on Stars, there's that. Which I would live that. The name is a good fucking movie, and I also realized that there were some of the end credits that I kind of missed out, or I don't know, which, okay, I should have sticked around for that, but I didn't know, but yeah, it's still a damn good movie of the year, and also, if you watched it, that stair sequence, yeah, yeah, pretty good shit.
All right, good to hear on all that front, and yeah, good to know that the personal stuff is going well, because I do get very concerned when things are happening that are not great. Personal lives come first. Yeah. This podcast is of secondary concern.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, as for me, well, I'm still a little bit annoyed about losing that last Splatfest. What do they got against Big Man? Or Fry, for that matter. Because I don't think Fry's won a lot of Splatfests. But aside from that, I had to deal with something really annoying today. I apparently at some point hit a nail. Again.
Ow.
Because, like, I feel like this keeps happening to me. Like, if my life was a sitcom, this would be, like, the big running joke throughout whatever season this is. How many times is he gonna hit some shit with his, like, tire or something before the season's over? And I just got that tire changed out, like, 3 months ago. I mean, as far as I know, it doesn't look like it's leaking air. Like, I didn't feel like it was leaking air. I didn't see, like, the low tire pressure thing going off of the dash. So, like, maybe I could last for a little bit. But still, like, this keeps happening and I keep getting annoyed. What? Did I piss off the tire gods or something? Fuck. Anyway, that about does it for all my stuff, so that'll about, man, I keep trying to transition. Okay, so, now that that's over with, let's go into our usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. So let's start right up at the top here with a song that I mostly put in here just for me, I think. So a few years back in 2020, I believe, a hardcore supergroup called End dropped their debut album, which took members of bands like Counterparts, Shai Hulud, and Misery Signals, and swirled their talents together into a sonic vortex of aggro mosh energy. They've recently announced that their second album is dropping this year, October 27th, titled The Sins of Human Frailty. Apparently there was a single before that I missed, but now we have the second single here, which is the title track. And it is definitely the kind of intense metalcore energy you would expect to AT. Lots of D-beats and jittery stop-start rhythms, alongside menacing tremolos, guitar chugs, ominous melodies, swapping very aggressively between that kind of thrash and bash and triplet grooves through a fairly brief, like, 2-minute, 20-second runtime. If you're into this kind of thing, it slaps. I know for a fact I'm into this kind of thing, but that says absolutely nothing about the present company here. I might be alone.
I'll keep it as short as the song is. It's heavy and fast and pretty unintelligible. It's exactly as advertised.
Hell yeah. Now, moving on to the next track here. We have some new Aesop Rock material incoming. I mean, he's had, like, a few collabs here and there, but this is the first project, I think, in, like, a few years or so that he's more or less on his own. So, this one is coming out November 10th. It's titled Integrated Tech Solutions. And, as you can guess from the name and the artwork, seems like it's some kind of concept album about, like, some Silicon Valley-type lifestyle tech company that may or may not have taken inspiration from that one video of Mark Zuckerberg wakeboarding with an Aesop Rock verse playing in the background. I did not make that up. That is the thing that happened. So, yeah, we have the first single here, which, you know, fittingly is titled Mindful Solutionism. Oh god, you could just feel that tech bro speak. Just, oh man. And as expected, the single fits the theme, you know, as you would kind of expect, taking the angle of, well, musically, having this kind of steady, grooving drum beat and a lot of glitchy synths in the background, as rock, you know, spits a lot of bars about the evolution of mankind, from caveman days to robots and shit, to, you know, being able to fucking order shit from your phone while you're in a plane in the sky. And it pretty much fits the conceit to a T, because this sounds exactly like some very, very questionably ironic advertisement from, like, a fictional tech company, so way to stay on brand, Aesop. But yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, man, yeah, there's definitely some science shit going on here. Like from the first verse where you go like from evolution to, you know, from the wheel and all the wheel, the Bronze Age, Iron Age, all that shit. Like this is definitely like some Schoolhouse Rock shit, but talking about rapping. And of course, it's out of the bag. Now that's a powerful cat. Because, yeah, get a cat out the bag.
Heh. I see what you did there.
Also, but, there's a cat. Also, yeah.
Man, now I want to go pet a cat.
Yeah.
But I have to finish recording this. Then I can step outside, and there's like three cats I could pet. Anyway, moving on to the next track, much less heady, but, you know, maybe easier to digest. Denzel Curry. Still no clue when that Blood In, Blood Out follow-up is coming. I haven't seen a date for that, but come on, man. So, we have the latest single from Denzel called Sked, S-K-E-D, which features, at least if you listen to the slightly longer version, guest bars from Kenny Mason. And not much else to say. Again, like all the singles we've gotten, this is some real just hard as nails modern rap. So when it finally drops, I get the feeling it's gonna be some real good like jock jam workout type shit. You know, gets the people going.
Yeah, this is some hard as fuck over here. Like the beat goes hard as fuck, Denzel as usual goes all this fuck over here. Like, we got line, he says, Monkey Fist makes some moopsy kicks. He gets a Koofy split. People on this, I got to actual coffee. Be Roofy this. It's ludicrous. I'll be looking for Avatar saying, I'm fucking through with this. No good shit in here. And hopefully we'll get a date soon, because, like, he had how many singles you been in? He's been out for this since, like 3 or 4? Or maybe 3?
There's a line in here I want to point out. Even Jesus called out on his Last Supper. That goes way too hard. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Now, moving on to the next track here. Alex, you want to take the lead, I assume?
Yeah. So from a very brisk 2-minute rap track to an 11-minute prog rock odyssey from Stephen Wilson from his new album due out in a week and a half. How about that? This song, Impossible Tightrope, it is a true odyssey of a track, starting with a wide atmospheric orchestra before going into the main guitar groove, leading into a momentary saxophone solo. Hello again, old friend. and progressing into a soft piano section with quite a bit of mixing layers to it. There's a video from the audio company Odyssey where Stephen explains what he does. A lot of reverb, tape scratch effects, and even automated vocal pitch shifting. It's a fun video. Go check it out, Odyssey, AUDEZE. Gives a fun insight into his production style, which is to make everything sound as analog as possible with plugins. We live in a glorious age of music production where we can make digital audio sound analog flawlessly. And then we get a choir making its way in toward the next guitar groove and keyboard solo before the track carries out with a kind of funky bass groove to come back to the first guitar section. This really is an odyssey. It's 11 minutes of prog worship that feels very modern in its delivery. It is a banger of a track. This might be the one to break the cycle if you know how I feel about his solo albums.
I am very intrigued. This is a song that goes some places. And everything is just like, it always feels like it's the exact right thing at the exact right time and place. Just immaculate. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, as we've heard in the past couple of weeks, Mirkur is dropping a new album October 22nd titled Spine. Although I feel like there's some kind of accentuated pronunciation I'm supposed to put on it because, European, but never mind all that for now. So we have single number 2 here, Moth-like, and from the start, it's quite a bit different from the usual black metal motifs or even, like, the folk stuff from, like, folk Sange. Because this one goes all in on the synths. Like, yeah, you get those haughty, ominous vocal melodies, but the instrumentation pretty much sounds like it could be a deep cut from, like, Perturbator or Carpenter Brute. Like the more somber, slow kind of synth jams from those guys. And then about halfway through, there's a break where, like, you know, the blast beats come in and some guitar grinding and all that. It's just this brief pocket inside of black metal, inside a song that's overwhelmingly dominated by them good synths. But, you know, I'm digging this. I'm curious to hear how much more of this might be on the rest of the album.
Folk-styled metal in a pop setting. It's quite the delight to the ears when it's structured this well.
Mwah. October 22nd. Anyway, speaking of October releases, so the new studio album, the much-anticipated second album from the band Crosses, from Chino Moreno and Sean Lopez, is coming out October 13th. Friday the 13th, if I believe. Spooky sounds. The album is titled Good Night, God Bless, I Love You, Delete. I guess they couldn't stick with one title. And we already heard one single from the album, and now we have two singles to talk about here. A double-decker tune. So the first one here is called Light as a Feather, which is a fitting name. You know, the melodies are very floaty and ambient here with a lot of that contemporary, like, you know, synth drum production and all. Those warble bass synths, everything is very Honestly, there's probably like a weird alternate universe where this could sort of scrape through onto the Hot 100 or something. Like, you know, in that field of like very, very moody kind of synth jams and all. Hell, it even kind of has some tom fills in there that kind of sound like In the Air. What was I going to say? In the Air Tonight. Fuck. Do not ask me why I did that. I might be tired. But anyway, then the other single, Ghost Ride, which this one definitely is a bit more abrasive compared to the other one. It opens with this kind of thumping synth bass and an off-kilter set of piano chords with a strange melodic structure. Especially once you get to the second verse, like that, those synths just be like hitting and breaking apart and distorting very abrasively. Quite a contrast from Light as a Feather, but these are some solid enough tunes. I'm still intrigued to see where this all goes.
Any discussion of the tracks I would have would be moot, so I'll just explain it like this. This project is just the weekend for nu metal kids. Take that however you want to.
You know, you are technically not wrong. And now, moving on to the next track, and quick pause, cue uproarious laughter from Mark and Alex, now. In case you're wondering, the punchline is Code Orange.
Would it make you feel better if I told you the song isn't totally terrible?
Well, let's get into that. So, as we all know, the beloved Metal Outfits new album, The Above, is coming out September 29th. The new single here we have is called Mirror. And as the Metal Injection URL article headline says, this is definitely their chillest song yet. And I'm going to go ahead and say a take that might turn some heads a little, but this might be the first time I've actually liked a Code Orange song. Hear me out.
Hear me out.
Now, there's one thing that I've picked up on in the years that I've had to know this band's existence through not just their own material, but in any appearances elsewhere. If there's one thing that I can say that I do sort of like about the band in general, it would be the vocals of Reba Myers. To her credit, she is a genuinely talented vocalist. It's just that the material she always has to work on is crap. If you want to know what made me come to this conclusion, or at least really solidified it, was, as you all remember, she had a prominent guest spot on a song from that last Greg Pucciato solo album we heard. And that song is honestly still my favorite on that record. And her vocals are a big part of why. They just fill the emotions that, you know, the instrumental is going for perfectly. So, like, she can be a good singer when she has decent material to work with. And the thing is, with this song, it has a very, like, melancholic kind of pseudo-90s alternative sort of thing. But not, like, the heavier side of 90s alternative. More like, you know, just the not quite adult alternative, but like somewhere in that nebulous gray zone. And it sounds pretty good, you know, this being a Reba solo track, basically. So, yeah, when she's taken all the way away from the obnoxious, sludgy milieu of Code Orange bullshit, she's pretty okay and the song's pretty okay. The fandom's probably still bitching about this, though, aren't they?
Maybe, but yeah, this has all of the visual panache of a 90s alt-rock video. Think like Sensible Pilots or Soundgarden or Garbage. And the song has the feel of Garbage, that is, the band Garbage. But that's not meant to be a joke. I mean,
I know just that.
Yeah, yeah, double entendre, I know, I get it. But honestly, yeah, I think Reba should front more songs with a more laid-back style that sounds less like, quote-unquote, Code Orange and sounds more, well, good, or at the barest minimum, tolerable. Maybe sliding the cover of Garbage's Stupid Girl one of these days, I'd like to hear that.
Hear, hear. Now, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look at that. We got another Shabazz Palaces tune on the docket.
Oh, yeah. I have to wear their, well, mini album. Yeah, fuck it. It's mini album, Rope Awareness, comes due the other day on October 27th. This time we got a track featuring Lil Tracy, which is, I'm guessing, is, the guy's son. It's titled Woke Up in a Dream. And hey, and thankfully, I found lyrics to this shit because well, come on, it's the best house of song. You had to figure out what the fuck it's saying, which I didn't look at lyrics last time. Every time I bless a script, it's a president. The Jiggy OGs, I'm the president. Only found females in my presence. But time flies till you die, I'm the evidence. All that's irrelevant. Then I'm heaven sent. Well, it's evident. Well, it's evident. I pay a bitch attention, but never rent. Is she for real? And then got some words like, my style's as flangless, the pussy's like a fragrance. Okay, shit. He never played the risk. He's a plagiarist. They be talking on the grist. So I made a list. I can't spell it out for you, but you get the gist. I spent a couple of emojis with some pics. I be looking like a lick of some cocaine wicks. Yeah, I was gonna say, like a song, like, yeah, it's very much say, you know, they're very weird structure that you always get from Shabazz Palaces and Lil Tracy, which, again, you got some weird, you got some good rhymes here and there. You got some rhymes where you had to, I'm a cheat code, I believe, listen to every rhyme, and it pains, but it fit, and she hella fine. Oakland Mixer 69, that's what type of time you want. You know, give me, I'm a rhythm, and I shine. It's definitely a weird as fuck track, along with the video, which, well, this is an interesting visual, but I could give it that. But what I got me is like what I usually give them Shabazz Palaces. Which is alright. Yeah.
I'll say the instrumental here is exactly the kind of dark, moody vibe I like from my Shabazz Palaces beats. Chef's Kiss. Now moving on to the next track. Oh, hey, that's. Which alarm is that? There's an alarm going off, but I lose track of these after a while.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I know what that is. It's a cell phone alarm.
Huh.
And it finally happened. We got an album. We have an album coming.
That's why the alarm was extra loud.
Fucking finally. I've been holding this for 2 weeks now. So as you can tell, first time in 6 years, they have an album coming out with this title, which I'm gonna screw up with this name, Lahai, oh fuck. That's his middle name, by the way. Sorry if I mispronounced your middle name. But yeah, that was coming out October 20th, month of my birthday, even though mine's on the 3rd, but still, it's a good thing to have on October. So we have a single out titled Only, and I gotta say, alright, a bit slightly different than what I usually hear from Sampa. Like, there's some percussion here and there. And I see the beat riding there, which, of course, you got the chorus only, human being, they got annoying for a bit, but I understand what the song's going through, it's a sample song, it's basically like, like going through the motions, all that type of shit, it's like, they got lyrics like beach of a beach of a house behind deep part of the sphere of life, sun and perfect reach each time, then a clean decision of life. I can't see chapters in my mind, I see problems jumping hide. Something like emotional shit, like loud lights, my fingers in my ear, I'm not trying to hear, I move on with faith only, so I crush me numb, I will chase and bend some, for love, I will run. But here's the thing that disowned me. Only to keep a distance, even I miss it. Hard to pick up where it phones me. I'm just saying a song at this point. But the only thing is, like, it's an interesting song. And looking at the like the track list, which okay was that list, and apparently some got some interesting features he got in there, which apparently got features from I want to say your name. Wait. Yaiji, I believe. Did you do the
Yaiji, nice.
Yeah. Some contribute that they do shit on here. And there's a track called Jonathan L. Seagull. Why does that sound like a fucking, I don't know, that sounds like a fucking Bojack Horseman character. Jonathan L. Seagull.
Oh, now we will never know, sadly.
That guy want to hear. That guy want to hear that track. Just for that name, like, but yeah. The track is pretty interesting. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know what sound he might go on. Like, we're gonna get the sound, which I'm just gonna hear that. I'm gonna hear to see what it goes to. But yeah. Just good to hear some. It's good to see an actual Sampha album coming up.
It has been 3,000 years. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not a fucking calendar. But, anyway, moving on to the last track here. It is, sequel season, isn't it? So I suppose it's fitting then that, in the past couple of weeks, we had one of the biggest blockbuster crossover sequels of any medium that one can imagine. And that is, of course, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. At once one of the most successful duos off the back of the song WAP, infuriating a whole bunch of people who decided to just embarrassingly admit that they don't know how to make their partners orgasm. Seriously, why don't you just admit that out loud? But yes, I guess that wasn't just a one-off. I mean, maybe these aren't one-offs, but the point is, we have another one here. We have the sequel to WAP from Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. It is called Bongos, and I gotta be honest, I feel like this is one of those cases where the sequel just isn't as good as the original. Like, I listened to this song, and not a lot of the punchlines and stuff really stick to me. Like, the only line that really stands out is, when Megan Thee Stallion says she's thick like the beans and rice didn't miss her. But then again, that's more or less because I remember that song by Sir Mix-a-Lot, Who Doesn't? That's like my go-to quote from that song. Everybody's got one, like the first quote they say to mind, and mine is, give me a sister, I can't resist her, red beans and rice didn't miss her. Also, getting back to the song itself, I feel like the beat isn't as good. It does kind of have, like, that weird vocal sample that's kind of saying bongos, and, like, it tries to have a bit more of an energetic pep, but, like I said, it doesn't quite stick in the brain the same way as, there's some hoes in this house, there's some hoes in this house. Yeah, and it's not like it's bad or anything, but, again, that first song, that shit just hit like a bomb, and I'm not sure anything else really can. Not for a good long while, at least.
Yeah, I'll say that, like, song-wise, I mean, it ain't no WAP, like, the impact is still kind of less than WAP did. I mean, the song is okay, like, the come as I expected, like, you know, like, he just acts like a plum, just puts it like a nun, but chew it like it's gum, like your mouth when you're done. Yeah, there you go. And also the video, yeah, horny. There you go, horny. Horny, 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 also thirsty, and horny. Horny.
Don't look at me, I got nothing. I talk about prog music. I'll just quote Blades of Glory. No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. It gets the people going, I guess.
Yeah, that was a movie, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, now to move on. So that was pretty much all the song discussion. We have one news topic, and granted it's a bit old by this point, but we need something to laugh at here. So How about that Blue Ridge Rock Festival?
Oh.
So, yeah, it was supposed to be taking place in Alta, Virginia, Virginia International Raceway. And it was supposed to run for like 4 days, it looked like. So from 7th to the 10th, but it only got through 2 days. What the hell happened? Well, if you need the short version, very, very extreme weather. So, it looks like around September 8th, a really bad storm rolled through around 6:30 p.m., forcing everyone to struggle to get shelter as rain and hail pelted them for hours. And apparently there were a lot of logistical issues that prevented people from, actually escaping efficiently. Like, they tried to get, like, you know, campsite vehicles, shuttle buses, and, fucking just... With so many people there, there wasn't enough shelter, so people were just waiting forever and ever. They were just stuck there, exposed in the elements of, like, rain and hail and all that fun business. Fuck, for the most part, they were just hiding in and out of, like, festival structures and shit. And it got so bad that they pretty much had to cancel the back half, like, the last 2 days, which included canceling performances by headliners the likes of Shinedown, Megadeth, I Prevail, The Used, Pantera, Limp Bizkit, Pierce the Veil. Actually, you know, maybe it was a good thing this got canceled. I mean, Baby Metal was there, so that would have been a bright spot. But, yeah, so that was very, very, I assume very frustrating for anyone who was there in attendance. The organizers of Blue Ridge Rock Festival are trying to get the refunds and all that stuff in order, but, yeah. Fucking weather.
There's been a lot of damage control going on with this, which has not gone well. This is basically every festival organizer's PR nightmare hard mode. And one such eyewitness account, we'll call him Justin, known as the Cubs fan, if you look around, did a very, very, very lengthy diatribe about the issues here that I would like to recite. Stick around, kids. This is going to take a little bit of time. So, it starts as such. Blue Ridge Rock is an absolute fucking joke. 90-plus degree weather, 2 hydration stations, only 1 is general audience, other is VIP. Price gouging. 1 bottle of water is $4. Campers waited over 12 hours just to get into the festival grounds. There were only a handful of porta-potties in each camping area. In most places, these have been taped off because they are overfilled within 12 hours and the company to pump them have left many in worse condition. Shuttle buses had lines reported of over an hour just to get on a bus, not even to get into the venue or festival grounds. This is after 2022's Great Shuttle Disaster. Because they have off-property parking, which... Bad logistics. The first night people pulled up, there was not enough security, and even more dropped because of the heat stroke. Many of the security pulled super late night guided campers to their spot until 9 a.m. The campground individual was at the Meadowlands where grass was completely unmoved, ankle to knee high at some point, infested with ticks, spiders, and copperhead snakes.
Damn.
Security even jokingly told us to watch out for them as they had reports from earlier that day. A large number of ADA, American Disability Act, festgoers were left stranded as Blue Ridge Rock didn't have nearly enough space or transportation. When it came for accommodations, there were cart rides offered with people reporting a 3-plus-hour wait on those carts.
Damn.
As if having security dropping from heatstroke and heat exhaustion wasn't bad enough, it wasn't until concertgoers were taken via ambulance to the Danville Hospital that BRRF gave out water bottles, not before taking a photo op to make themselves look good. When prompted with all the issues, the administration of Blue Ridge decided to try to censor anyone who brought up a problem. They would delete posts, block members from fan groups, and just try to block out any negativity without addressing the concerns. The old nothing to see here, everything's fine. We heard from Officer Bob Brady, Baghdad Bob, Leslie Nielsen in that one movie. There has been very little garbage pickup anywhere on site, with most trash cans looking like an overfilled landfill throughout the day. There's no reason this should be there should be this many issues with a festival that is geared to fans, especially one that prides itself in being affording. The admin talked about how affordable the festival will be without mentioning how much price gouging has been happening with food and water primarily. A bag of ice, 20 pound, I believe, was $14. Water, $4 for a 12-ounce bottle. Most food items were $15 to $25 a piece.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Nick Nocturnal did a video about this week. Noticed that baklava was $14. His, I believe he said, babushka's gonna come find your ass.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't fuck with baklava like that, man.
No. Oh, the saddest part for me, for him, is that this is a repeat offense for Jonathan Sly and the promoters of Blue Ridge Rockfest. They face similar issues in 2022 and 2021, where shuttle issues and overselling camping spots cause folks to miss entire sets. There are lawsuits because of a lack of payment, from not paying bar staff tips to withholding overtime pay. The amount of issues that have cursed this festival should be an indicator of the lack of preparation and planning, something that will only give music fans bad experiences. Something BRF couldn't control, a mini monsoon coming out of nowhere. Reports of destroyed camps are incoming. Yeah, here's the thing about weather we're in my part of the country. In the summertime, it's either monsoon or no monsoon. It was bad. The storm damage was especially bad. Like, you had campsites completely destroyed, tents just, you know, turned over, debris everywhere. And apparently someone's car had up brand smashed the back windshield.
Ew.
Yeah, completely destroyed. And this is the point where Justin here says, the mess only gets worse. The poor folks who work for Setup have also had a really rough time. Firstly, the company who runs the Setup has threatened employees for speaking out, so the following is anonymous. After last night's storms, things got shittier. The picture here is porta potties turned over.
Oh,
that's nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, there are also some more eyewitness reports from people who were there. With one saying, they had to have their wristband cut on the way out. The quote is, was told to leave because of the storm for our safety, but now we're waiting for a bus on the road. Have been waiting for almost 2 hours, and will be for the next two. Can't even leave on foot, or the sheriff will cut your wristband. What a shitty experience. The parking lot is 5 miles away. How?
Fucking me, man.
Fucking Jesus Festival.
Yeah. Now I know that putting on a festival can be tricky. If you have the resources and the infrastructure, it's not. Like, here where I live, a couple years ago, we had a music festival at the Speedway. It's a full-size NASCAR-regulated speedway that has amenities and an on-site parking lot and enough room for stages. And, you know, if you have to go because of rain, you can walk inside because it's a full-size fucking racetrack. This is no es bueno. This is a really, really, really bad sign. And there are more eyewitness accounts. Tank the Tech on YouTube, who is a tour manager for Electric Callboy, did a 30-minute video talking about it. Luke from Rock did a video talking about his time at Blue Ridge Rock Fest because he was doing photography there. Oh, God. Just a colossal shit show. No pun intended.
I'm probably going to have to check out some of those videos, because good lord, I hope Luke made it out all right.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently the Virginia Department of Health uncovered an unspecified amount of health violations. That's the quote here.
Oh, I don't even want to think about that, man. Mm. Unspecified. That when you leave it up to the imagination like that, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know how this festival goes on next year after all of this. Like, this is a legitimate PR nightmare. Nobody's gonna want to go if this crap keeps happening. And if you're a band, you probably don't want to sign on for this, because you never know if your set's gonna get canceled because of whatever reason. Or everything just falls to shit. I know I'm saying that a lot. I'm not trying to be funny.
You know, sometimes you can't help it.
Ugh.
So, yeah. Good luck with that, Blue Ridge. There's no luck for you. Now, that was pretty much the only news topic that had to be discussed. So now we're going to move on to the last little bit here, which is the new album releases for the week of September 22nd. 2023. Starting at the top, there's a new album from industrial metal band Three Teeth with Endex. From Noise Rockers Ken Mode, there's the new album Void. From Cannibal Corpse, their newest album, Chaos Horrific. From the combined efforts of Mike, Wiki, and The Alchemist, there's a new project called Faith is a Rock.
Oh.
From Doja Cat, unfortunately, there's a new project called Scarlet. From producer Lorraine James, there's a Gentle Confrontation. And for the band Chai, there's a new self-titled project. Hmm. So now it's time go ahead.
Okay. I want to add a tidbit. Since you mentioned The Alchemist earlier, I posted this. I know I mentioned it a bit early, but you like me, you were pissed that Old Social Alchemist album was on that site. Well, there's an update. It will be on streaming services October 6th, with apparently two new tracks featuring Vince Staples on them, which, okay, that's better. I mean, I know one track will make the streaming version, but you know what? Good. I actually listened to the album without having to did it again, my dumb ass did. I'm not gonna talk about that album until the other first hit. So, in other words, if I'm a roundup, I ain't gonna talk about the album. So, yeah.
Right. And, yeah, that's pretty much about it. So, now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
At various places. I'm still trying to figure out, like, if you know where to find me, you'll find the other links. I'm still trying to find my place on this godforsaken internet, which if a certain platform decides to become paid only, that's it. Goodbye.
Oh god. Fucking hell. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Just that type of media, just whatever you can find me, or just part of it. I don't know. I have no damn Twitter, you motherfucker. Anyway, on my site, mindhive100.com, where, of course, I keep on doing weekly posts of my story, this brilliant kid, although they're not going hiatus by the end of the month. And, of course, it'll be September. Expect the time of season, you know, summer anime wrap-up coming up soon. All I gotta say is, like some 100? Yes, I do. You kind of regret to get to know that the thing ain't gonna finish because you know about the delays and the fact that it ain't gonna finish. Or at least not this year. But whatever. Yeah.
And as for me, you can find me pretty much most social media places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday, so, you know, follow us and all that stuff. Be sure to follow us at surrealreso on Twitter while it's still there. like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast Q&A, all that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server, as that's going to be the most reliable way to be immediately updated for any new posts on the site. And that's pretty much about this. We'll be back later on in the week for the much delayed album roundup for August and a bit of July. So, yeah, until then, Square, your knockoff of Splatoon still looks lame. Stop trying to make it look cool.